strength and conditioning is known for being a more competitive space. Is this reputation accurate, or are there misconceptions about your gym that you want to clear up?
You know, okay. Here's the real.
Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Here we go.
Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1,
time.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to the Movement for Life podcast. I am J.R. Jakeway, and I am here with my ever faithful co-host, Colby Christofik. And I have a question. Colby, does anyone ever pronounce your last name Crucifix?
Yeah.
Because Christofik. Every time I want to say it, that's
Crucifix.
What comes out Crucifix. And I usually steer away from your last name. I just say Colby. But last week you said my last name, although it was incorrect. But nonetheless, you tried. And so I thought I would try this week. And I think I hit it.
Oh, you did. You Crucifix. Did. Good. Yeah. It's like Crucifix. Krista, like the name Krista.
And Krista?
Fick. Yeah.
Krista-fick. See, I keep wanting to say fix. That's what's getting me.
Yeah, it's not an X.
It's not an X. Okay. Well, it's Colby and JR, everybody.
Welcome back.
Today, we have a great episode. We sat down and had an interview with the owner of Strange Strength and Conditioning, mm-hmm. Samantha Lusk, and the owner of Wilder Athletics, Charles Chung. I'm really excited for you all to hear it. I've listened to hear it a couple of times at this point, and I think that a lot of people will really come away from that having a better understanding of Sam and the entire community of Strange. And I'm really thankful that they took the time out of their very busy schedule to talk with us.
You know, I love what they talk about with the kind of space that they have now. So I think it is very cool to be able to hear some of that that transformation and their growth as a facility.
Great.
Well, JR, what did you do to move last week?
Last week was all about recovery. The week following the quarterfinals,
I just
worked on mobility. So it was all about me getting into moving a little bit and taking time to let my body heal and recover a little bit. That's basically what it was all about. Stretching, mobility,
nice.
And very, very basic movements with very, very lightweight. What about you?
That's fun. The thing that I remember most that I kind of want to share is I had a shower thought on Saturday night, and my shower thought is like, man, it's impossible for me to not be fit. And that sounds ridiculous. It sounds crazy, but it's not because that I have some sort of like crazy discipline and I'm like this, you know, guru that goes to the gym all the time, but it's because that my friends that I surround myself with want to do physical activity.
Okay. That makes more sense.
And I
don't hate you for that now.
Saturday morning, I woke up at 5:30 on a Saturday morning to do the Hyrox training. It was the final week of the Hyrox training. It was a 50-minute AMRAP. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to wake up at 5:30 on a Saturday morning to do a 50-minute workout. But my friends were doing it, right. So I was like, "Oh, sure, I'm going to go spend some time with my friends." And it ended up being a really fun workout. Stayed for the skills and squad right after that. Then we had our staff meeting after that, which was awesome. Loved having everybody in the same room together. And then I texted some friends after our staff meeting. I was like, hey, you guys want to do anything today? And they said, let's go play pickleball today. And so we went and played pickleball. We went and played pickleball for like 2.5 hours. And we played hard. And like that is something that I probably would do. Because playing sports or playing games is just a lot of fun to me. So I would choose to do something like that. But then I'm like 4:30 comes around and I'm exhausted. I'm like, haven't taken a shower. And I'm like, man, it would be so hard for me to not be fit because all my friends, like all they want to do is like these physical activities. And I just say yes to all of them because I want to spend time with friends.
You want to surround yourself with those kind of people though. Those are the kind of folks that you want by your side, always pushing you to do something productive and fun, that's the way to go. Okay. We're going to go ahead and get into this interview. I hope you all enjoy it. And please make sure that you're sharing this podcast. You can see it on YouTube. You can listen to it in your car. And the more people that hear about it, the better. So listen up, and I hope you enjoy our conversation with Sam and Charles. We have the owner of Strange Strength and Conditioning that's located in North Hollywood, California, and they just celebrated their 6th anniversary, Sam Lusk. And we have the owner of Wilder Athletics, an Olympic weightlifting and performance training program that's housed inside the space of Strange, Charles Chung. Welcome to the podcast, you two.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Before we get started, I think we need to do a mental health check-in. You guys are the proud parents of 8-month-old twins. So tell us how you are feeling both emotionally, physically, spiritually, all the above.
I think I'll let Sam take this one.
It's rough. I'll be honest, like in the beginning, people said that when they got older, it would get easier. And I really am finding it not to be the case. Because now they're mobile and now they're fast and strong and they can pull things down and hurt themselves. So we are in the midst of looking for some help to help us out with them.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I have a 4.5-year-old son, and I was lucky enough that during the pandemic, I was furloughed, so I got to stay home and watch him grow. And now with the twins, you know, I've also been lucky enough for the past 8 months to spend this time, and we got to, we get to parent ourselves. We haven't, you know, put them in daycare or anything yet, but now we're kind of at like this critical point where it's like, okay, we have our business, we want to run it, we want to grow it, we need some help, you know, but also having the ability to kind of still stay really hands-on with their development and like getting to witness them grow has been like a blessing.
Yeah. So they come to the gym literally like every day.
Yeah. So, I see them in your videos. That's amazing. Yeah.
They are very socialized in terms of feeling very comfortable around people, which I think is really nice. And everyone at the gym is really supportive. So we have girls and guys who will like watch them for us, you know, during a workout or like hold them, play with them. So that's really cool. I think like to Charlie's point, we are really lucky and we haven't missed out on anything because we've been very present, but you, it's really hard to get anything done. Like today we're late to the podcast, right? Cause we couldn't get the baby monitor to work. And you know, you're just always getting interrupted. So it's really hard to focus. And also I'm very like little sleep as well.
Yeah. It probably doesn't help that you are probably producing super strong babies that are moving faster and quicker than the average baby. So there you go. All right. Before we get started, I want to give you both an opportunity to give us a little background on any sports or activities that you participated in either as a child or an adult, and what kind of brought you to the weightlifting functional fitness space.
Okay. I'll take this one. I actually was not very athletic. I had really bad asthma. I was born in Taiwan. My family actually immigrated to Canada because of my asthma. I would just stop breathing in the middle of the night, apparently, according to my mom. The pollution was terrible there. And so when we immigrated to Canada, I did try to play some sports, but it was very difficult for me. I did some team sports in elementary school, high school. I played rugby. And then when I got into college, I started rock climbing. And that was kind of what I did for a very long time. When I moved to Los Angeles, my brother-in-law, was like, "Hey, I have this thing. It's called CrossFit. Like, I want to take you to check it out at Valley CrossFit." And, you know, I went with him. I think he took me the first time, and then he went with me one other time, and then he stopped going, and then I kept going and have been, you know, involved in one way or another in that functional fitness community. And also over the last 8 to 10 years, you know, I really started to pick up weightlifting and becoming a weightlifting coach and athlete as well. So that's kind of nice. My background.
and how I got into it.
Yeah, I also was not very athletic as a child, and mainly because my parents are both professors, so they wanted like me to read. I played violin, like I was kind of a nerdy kid with glasses, and
I was an indoor kid.
But then in high school, there was like a swim team tryout that I just did for fun. I really didn't know what I was doing. And they kind of let everyone on the team, like, I don't think it was very competitive, but I did make it on the team. And then I was very bad, but then I got better and then I got good. And then I really liked that because I was a competitive person, just, you know, from birth. And then through swimming, I was actually recruited. My godmother sent a letter to the University of Texas because they were recruiting swimmers and cross-country runners to row because of Title IX. They had to get more like female sports. So she wrote a letter about me and sent like my swimming awards and like accolades. And they brought me for a recruit trip at University of Texas and wound up giving me a partial scholarship for rowing, even though I'd never rowed before ever. So I like walked onto the novice team with a scholarship. So I rowed crew in college. After that, I was inclined to more of like triathlons. I ran the LA Marathon in 2010. And then I actually had a boyfriend whose brother is Bill Grundler, who was big in the CrossFit space. Yeah. So I dated James Grundler. They were obviously talking about CrossFit. I didn't know what it was. I was introduced to it doing the WADs like in LA Fitness, and I was just getting destroyed because I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do like a pull up or anything like that. And so it was just brutal. I kind of hated it. They took me to a regionals that Bill was competing in. And I remember thinking the girls were massive. The girls that you went that were at Valley, like Katie Hogan, Lindsay Valenzuela. I was like, holy shit, these girls. But they had ergs there. They had rowers. And I was like, oh, if I can do anything, like I could row. And that led to me trying out a class at Brick. CrossFit was my first CrossFit gym. And actually being coached properly, I was like, okay, this is really fun. I like this. And it was the first sport that I was really bad at. I had been sort of like more gifted athletically, I think, because I did sports that were for tall people. And so I was good at them.
Sure.
CrossFit, as you guys know, is not necessarily a tall person sport, just generally. But it was full of things that were really fun to try. Like I'd never been upside down in a handstand. I had no experience with gymnastics. And I was just hooked right away. And that, of course, led to me quitting jobs and shifting focus entirely to this sport and becoming kind of obsessed with it. So here we are.
Talking about life-changing, I imagine that having twins now is having some sort of effect on training schedule and how much you guys are able to work on things like fitness, stay active. Like, what is it like being fairly new parents, still under a year, and your fitness? Have you guys found routines that it's allowed you to train just as much? Or are you feeling like you're dialing back training? Are you changing your type of training? How's it going?
Okay, so there's a lot of really one woman in particular who's a coach of mine, her name is Nicolette, and she has almost 3-year-old, and then she got pregnant after me. But I watched her postpartum kind of journey, and she was a monster. She has a lot of family here as well to support her. And so she was kind of back in the gym really fast and like got back to, you know, qualifying for Wadapalooza within like 6 months of having a baby. So that's what I saw.
Yeah.
That has not been my experience. You know, for both of us, I think that working out is like a big mental health, like it's something that we need. It's like therapy for us. So
yeah, it's like self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think if anything, we have a little bit of conflict over like who gets to go to the gym for how long. And when we're at the gym, who's paying attention to the babies? You know, are you working out? Am I working out? Is it possible for us to work out together? But we make it a priority to go. But generally, I would say we're capped at about like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Whereas before, for me, I would be there all day because I would coach, I would work out, I would eat lunch, I would work out, I would coach, you know, so this is very different. But we're still trying to do things like we still participated in the Open and like quarterfinals. But it's just, it's, you know, we can't we can't recover, right? Because we're not getting the sleep that we need.
Sure.
We're not taking care of ourselves. We're taking care of the babies. Like, that's the priority. So for me, I know it's been a huge shift in training. And also I've had to humble myself a lot because I'm coming back, but not as quickly as I maybe would have hoped.
Yeah, I think, you know, being a, you know, outsider, like, I know that the expectation when Samantha got pregnant was we thought she was going to be able to train for much longer. But with having twins, I think you had a pretty rough time, yeah. You know, with the pregnancy. And so I think she was, you know, I think you trained for, how long did you train for before you kind of had to stop that?
I mean, I was training in some way up until about like 32, 33 weeks, but like obviously very modified. But after a certain point, it was impossible. I mean, it was like, I could barely walk. So I was really, I would just go to the gym and like sit on a box and watch people.
It's, you know, for my personal journey, it's funny because as I mentioned, I have a 1.5-year-old son, and I feel like when I met Samantha, I was just starting to get back into training. Like, I had gone through all the sleepless nights, all the potty training and everything. And I, you know, I started to get more hours to train. And, you know, she saw me at my best. And then, now it's like, I think we have plans going into the gym of what we'd like to do. But there's always a backup plan of like, oh, okay, well, I can probably just do this today instead. You know, like, there's been times where I plan to do a, you know, 20-30 minute EMOM every minute on the minute work, and then end up just, you know, pulling a sled while pushing the babies on the stroller, or doing some curls while I'm like trying to feed the baby. So it's, you know, just having a backup plan now, I feel like, helps. And, you know, having less of an expectation.
Right. Like not getting upset when it doesn't go the way that you want it to, you know, it's like, oh, I wanted to do this, or like, you know, I needed to do this, but I didn't get to do it. And it's like feeling okay that didn't happen, because it's just, it's unpredictable. Sometimes the babies are really easy, and sometimes they just are like, hell no, we don't want to be here right now.
Do you find that now that you're a mother, you're looking at fitness in a different light than you did before?
I will say that I have grown, my empathy has grown greatly for people in general, because it's a different perspective, right? I mean, for parents particularly. And I also notice how some of my friends or people that I, you know, members of the gym, people that I have trained with in the past that don't have kids, I'm like, man, they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't realize like how hard it is. And you sort of get ushered into this like new club, and everybody's like, oh man, like, we're fucking just surviving right now. Like, this is so hard. I still have high expectations for myself, you know, in terms of what I would like to accomplish.
Sure.
And I do see moms really lose themselves having babies. And I do think being active in the gym at whatever level that is, like, it could just be going to the gym and sitting on a bike, going to the gym and just participating in class in a very modified way, but it gives them something to feel like good about, or something to kind of make them feel like how they used to before they had the baby. So I think it's really important.
I think kind of the last couple of questions have hit really some honest perspective on what does fitness look like potentially outside of a competitive aspect when there's other things that are on the priority level. And like, the reality is, even when life is busy, when life is crazy, when I've got kids, when I'm a new parent, like, if being healthy and being fit is, you know, part of a priority system or a value system for me, like, you just said it, you're like, you make it work, you adjust expectations, but you make it work. And I think a lot of people, just what you said was like, I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it. Like, postpartum, my mom's like, you know what? I just don't work out anymore. Like, I just don't do it anymore. But if it's part of your value system, like, you make it work. You're like, hey, it might not be the same as what it was before, but I'm gonna make sure that I have some time for it. Or, you know, it might not be the same time or the same activities or the same intensity, but because it's important to me and I have aspirations and I think, you know, these are things that I could do and should do and want to do, I make it a priority. I get it done.
Yeah. I mean, and one thing I want to say, and not to be like, I think there's some like very positive role models out there for women, but I also think there's some problematic role models. And I'm just going to say right out that I really don't like Tia Claire Toomey and how she's represented her recovery postpartum, because I think there's been a lack of acknowledgement that what she's done is very impressive, but it's also very abnormal and it is not to be expected. And I think that we as female athletes will compare and feel bad about yourself, like that you can't do these things and potentially like rush into doing things that they really shouldn't be doing that aren't like good for their physical health. And I think that they're like, I would say like Kara Saunders is a much better role model because she's so cool and she shows it all. She's not it's not like just the pretty, like I'm holding a baby, but I'm also like doing 20 muscle ups. So I'm broken. It's like the good, the bad, the ugly, like I'm getting thrown up on. I threw my back out. I can't do this work. You know, it's very real. And I think it's important. You know, I think everyone's recovery is different from pregnancy and what type of birth you had, if you had twins, if you had one baby, whatever. But I think that there needs to be a little bit more honesty from people in a position like with a platform like hers about how difficult it really is. And it's like, just say that, you know, and offer some grace for people who are going through the same thing and who are not as genetically blessed or as like at such a high fitness level as she is.
Let's shift into a little bit of a gym. Tell us a little bit about your gym. What's the mission and vision of Strange Strength and Conditioning?
So Strange opened, like y'all said, about 6 years ago, almost exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I came from a background of being a head coach at Vault CrossFit in the Valley. And, you know, I went into it a little bit naive, thinking that I could, you know, create a gym that I knew everything from, you know, being a coach, and I could make this really amazing space. And I do feel like we've made an amazing space, but it is a lot harder than I ever thought it would be to own a business because, you know, owning a business and being a coach are two very different things. The plan or the brand behind Strange and why it's called Strange was I really wanted to make a place that was very inclusive where people from all walks of life would feel welcome. I feel like, and this isn't so true in LA, but just CrossFit in general, I think in kind of middle America has like a certain type of person that you associate being a member there, you know? And I wanted people that didn't fit into that narrow category to still feel comfortable and good about doing the sport of CrossFit because it really is for everyone, you know? And I wanted to have a diverse group of coaches. I wanted to be very LGBTQ friendly. You know, I wanted to make a safe space in fitness for anyone who took an interest.
Sam, it seems like you have a strong conviction to show support for those sometimes what would be considered disenfranchised populations. So like the LGBTQ population, we're going to talk about your adaptive program as well. So tell me where that sense of strong need or desire to support those folks come from. Is it something that you learned at home as a child, or did you develop that some other point in your life?
You know, I think that I have felt like an outsider, even though I felt like I didn't fit in. I felt like I wasn't in like the cool group of people, you know, growing up. And I felt sometimes like a little bit left out or odd or not the norm. And I really have encountered people who have, you know, embraced me and made me feel welcome. And that has made me want to do the same thing to other people. You know, I'm from Texas, which is not a very progressive state, but I do have very progressive liberal parents. And so they sort of had this bubble of culture and awareness that a lot of people I grew up with did not. So I'm very lucky in that respect. You know, I think that for whatever reason, a lot of gay women have embraced me and followed me as a coach. And I've gotten to know them very well and their struggles. And, you know, it's sometimes, I can't say that I have the empathy, but I certainly have the sympathy. And I do feel like as a gym or a business owner, like we have a unique opportunity to really share some of something that is quite life-changing with a group of people who might otherwise be a little bit scared off by what they see as like a traditional gym atmosphere. And so, you know, whether it be, you know, from our coaching staff or just from the people that, you know, wind up walking into the gym, I want them to look around and feel like there are other people like them there and to feel like it's a unique space and maybe something they haven't encountered before. And here they both are.
And we got two.
We have two new guests.
Charles Wilder Athletic. What kind of training do you guys do? What is the objective of the program? How do people get involved? And what's the goal?
Yeah, so Wilder Athletics is actually, you know, I wanted to start just by introducing it. It's named after my first child, Asa. His middle name is Wilder, so Asa Wilder Chum. So Wilder Athletics is named after him. And I think originally the, you know, I've always wanted to have a weightlifting team. And when I met Sam, we had kind of talked about, you know, goals and dreams, and I mentioned, you know, the entity itself, and she kind of opened it up, and you know, she was very supportive in wanting to help me get this thing off the ground. And I always had one excuse, like why I couldn't do it, you know. And she pretty much was like, okay, well, we have a facility, we have athletes that would, you know, want to compete, so why don't we do it? And so she kind of really, you know, she even set a deadline for me to kind of, I think it was like November or something. She's like, you need to do this in by November, get it started. And, you know, Wilder Athletics, what we are right now is a competitive weightlifting team. The goal is to have a place for people who want to get better at weightlifting, who want, you know, eyes on their lifts. Obviously at Strange they have weightlifting classes that is for people who are you know, starting out, who are dabbling, who want to, you know, learn to lift. And with Wilder being, you know, housed inside of Strange, you know, we get a lot of athletes that are like, okay, well, that looks fun, it looks like what they're doing is a ton of fun, why don't I go check it out. You know, we have team lifts every Saturday morning, and everybody just throws down, right? We max out. And so it's an opportunity for people who really want to compete on the platform to hone their skills and their technique. And yeah, we are right now, if you want to get started, obviously with on social media, Wilder Athletics on Instagram, or just coming by the gym, you know, reaching out to me as well. That is one way to kind of get started. I always recommend people to come out to one of the team lifts because I think the energy is really good. It's an opportunity also for me and the rest of the team to meet the individual and just to see what the energy is like and what we do. And for the people
is this
that
when
come,
you crown the jerk off competition, the jerk off champion.
yeah, actually that's between the girls. We have an athlete, Nora.
Oh my god, so strong.
She just jerked 250 pounds.
And wow.
And so she so got crazy. They made this belt, weightlifting belt that said jerk off champion. So that was taken from a previous member of Wilder Athletic.
All right, if you guys are like me, you carry a lot of shit to the gym. I like to take my rope. I like an extra pair of socks to change into after I work out. I like to have a snack because that's super important. A toiletry bag. Man, there's just so much in my bag. And for a long time, I really struggled with keeping all of that separated or trying to find something easily. Not anymore, because the best boss in the world, Colby, bought me a Haven Athletic bag. And let me tell you about this bag. It has lots of different compartments, even a little ventilated area at the bottom where you can either put your stinky shoes or maybe sweaty clothes. And it's great to not have those mixed in with all of your other stuff. We are able to give you guys $40 off your purchase. If you go to the show notes, there's a link. Haven Athletic, purchase your bag today.
Recently, we had Jameson Perry, who is a new affiliate owner from CrossFit Horsepower, on the show with us. And he kind of talked fostering some relationships between gyms or affiliates as something that's important to him. What are your thoughts on relationships between gyms? Would you like to collaborate? What keeps you from collaborating? Or a little bit of explanation on what your feelings are with that.
You want me to say? Here's the thing. Like, I will talk about this in let's just start from like a personal training perspective. Like, I'm a personal trainer, and I always refer people, right? Like, you know, I can't take this time slot, so here's a client to somebody I trust. I think there is enough business there for everyone. I don't think it needs to be so cutthroat, and you don't need to throw people under the bus. Like, one gym isn't necessarily going to be a good fit for everyone, right?
Yep.
And you want to go to the place that you feel most welcome. You want to go to the place that helps you reach your training goals and your personal goals and whatnot. And I'm perfectly fine saying, like, just, you know, speaking of Water Athletics, like, if we're not the club for you, I can recommend you to three other clubs nearby. I have no problem doing that. You know, I want you to come to me because you enjoy the team. You enjoy me as a coach. You trust in me. I don't need to be like, I don't need to talk poorly about anybody else. I don't need to say I'm the only person you can train with. You know, I really believe that there are a lot of good coaches around. I mean, there are a lot of bad ones too. However, I think collectively, like, we all have similar goals. We want to get people better. We want to help people reach their goals. So, like, there's no need to put a gym down or talk trash about a coach just so that you can bring business to yourself. In fact, I think that makes you look worse.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, we're here to raise people up, not put them down.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I really, you know, I didn't know Jameson personally. I knew who he was. And then when there was some, you know, discord at his last gym, you know, we reached out because Charlie obviously knew him. And I just said, if you need a place to work out, you're welcome to come to Strange and work out, which led to him and I having a few conversations. And I was like, wow, this guy's like really nice. He's really cool. And we talked about these like fake, like kind of like these fake enemies or something that you have, like people that don't like you, but then you're like, but why don't they like me? We don't know each other.
Right.
You know, and there seems to be bad blood, but like based on what? And I always have said, at least with, you know, with our members and coaches, like, if you're not happy at Strange, like, I want you to be able to go somewhere else. And I never want people to feel like locked in, you know, contract wise, like weird clauses where they have to give 30 days notice and then pay like some penalty for canceling. We're basically month to month, so you can kind of cancel at any time. Because I think just brand wise or like business wise, you want people at your space that want to be there. I also have good friends who are affiliate owners, one of whom is downtown at Muse, CrossFit Muse, and one of whom is in West LA, West LA Athletics, and they're great. I feel like besides Jameson now, most of the boxes closest to us, like, we're not, you know, there isn't that camaraderie, and I don't know why. And we throw these competitions that are pretty big, you know, a Valentine's Day one that's been going on for like, you know, since we opened, and then a summer one, and we'll have people come out from like hours away to compete. And then, but you won't see people from like the gyms that are close by. And I
down agree with Tarp.
Yeah, down the street. And I'm like, y'all, there's cash prizes. Just like come compete. Like, it doesn't hurt you in any way. And hopefully like your athletes will do well and it can be a community building thing. I think there is absolutely, I think, you know, people find the gym that works for them and there are plenty of options, and probably what we offer is not for everyone. And that's okay. And I would like that to see a little bit more camaraderie between gyms instead of, like Charlie said, this like very cutthroat, like, oh, if you're not with us, you're against us sort of philosophy. Because I have had members say,
sure,
like, you know, I don't talk to anyone from my old gym anymore because when I left, the owners like kind of ostracized me from the community. And I think that's ridiculous. Yeah. So
Well, with that said, strength and conditioning is known for being a more competitive space. Is this reputation accurate, or are there misconceptions about your gym that you want to clear up?
You know, okay, here's the real.
Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
When I opened the gym, I wanted to create a space not just for competitors, but for competitors, you know, where we had just for the facility, like high enough ceilings where you could do rope climbs and like make sure that you have muscle ups and a lot of weights and like space outside if you want to do yoke carries and sled pushes. And I just wanted it, and I wanted a place where you could hold competitions, because I thought that was like a really cool thing that I wanted to be a part of. I also had been a competitor, and I had been at gyms where I felt like there wasn't a place where people who wanted to get better could grow. So eventually they would stop taking class. They would start doing like mayhem programming. They would just go to open gym, and it would be a very like split population between the people in class and the people in open gym. And I wanted to make a place where, you know, it's that old like philosophy, like program for the best, scale for the rest. So I wanted to program things that were very challenging, so people would never grow out of it, but then also make it accessible and have people be able to modify if needed. Now, what happened was, I think it went too far in the competitor direction. And I'll be honest, as a business person and as I've seen the sport evolve, that is not the direction that you want to go, because it's a very niche market of people, especially now. It was a little different when they had like regionals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But now there just aren't that many people who care to compete. And especially as like postpartum mom, I see that there's space for like all levels, but people are very intimidated, I think, as a result, by our gym, because we do have a bigger group of competitive athletes than probably your average CrossFit gym. And I have been trying to move the needle a little more towards the middle, but it's tough once you've established yourself one way. That's sort of just how people view you.
Yeah.
What we've tried to do, because what I noticed is that even though I expected people to scale workouts, they weren't. They were trying to do them as RX as possible, and they weren't able to modify themselves. So what we did was we started to offer two tracks for every strength portion and every WOD. So it's like two options. Like, so on Monday you can either snatch or you can back squat. The WOD is the same WOD, but probably one side is with a barbell, one side is with dumbbells, one side's a little bit lighter cardio, one side's a little bit more highly technical. That has helped us a lot, because I think people have their group that do the gold path, which is like the more cardio track. And then you have the people who do the black path, which is like the more advanced track. And they're not having to make that decision for themselves. It's already taken care of for them. So they see what the scaled version. I think that though we do have a lot of competitive athletes, I think our competitors like are very kind, welcoming people who are very, I think people look up to them. I think they're very welcoming. And I feel like you can do both. And I want people to feel comfortable at the gym. And I want to help people who have never worked out before. So I'm really working on trying to, I don't know if you want to call it a rebrand or just create awareness that like we're not a scary place. And though you may have a girl over here doing a 180 pound snatch, you also have like a girl over here doing a 10 pound dumbbell snatch, and that's fine. And there's space for everyone, you know?
Having really competitive athletes is inspiring. Like, what we've got three pillars: inspire, educate, and lead for us. And you want to be able to inspire people. Like, the line that I think that you're talking about is that line between inspiring and scaring somebody of like being like, this is really, really cool. I could never do anything like that. That's going to be something I could never do. Like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be that thing. And I have like a kind of a perfect example of what you were just talking about. We have a new gal who's coming in her 60s for her first couple of like foundation sessions. She's done some CrossFit, wanted to do some more. And she sees one of our young coaches, I think, doing some heavier snatches. And she like wide-eyed, like, oh my gosh, did I walk into the wrong space here?
Right.
And she like had a conversation with a couple of our coaches, like, you know, is that what all of this is? And we're like, no.
No.
Nope. You're going to be okay. I promise.
Yeah. And I think that I come across as a little bit intimidating is what I'm told. So I have to sort of work against that and try to be extra. It's me. I'm shy is really where it comes from. I actually thought Charlie was super full of himself, and turns out he was just shy too. So obviously, like, sometimes how we portray ourselves is different from who we actually are.
Yes. For
so
sure.
I really have to make an effort to be super friendly and outgoing, even though that's not really like my natural state. I'm just like reserved. And I even had a member tell me the other day, he was like, oh, I really like it. Like when you take the time to say hi to me, and it's like, take the time, man. Like, I just don't want to bother you, you know, like, I'm just, yeah. But okay. And you see like how much that matters, especially with new people. And I think just CrossFit in general has a little bit, it's intimidating, or just the gym is intimidating, especially if you have never, you don't know what you're in for. Everyone feels like, you know, very insecure, like they're being watched or judged. And I try to remind people that everyone in the gym is worried about themselves. They're not worried about you. Yeah, everyone's right. Feeling the same way. They're like, oh, did they see me do that? It's like, nah, man, they're thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
Or in talking about your gym space, I know that you have a collaboration with an organization called Angel City Sports, which is a nonprofit designed to give free access of adaptive sports opportunities to anyone with a disability. So tell us about this program and how that collaboration began.
Okay, so we have a coach who I know you know, JR, is yes. Anna Stern. She is an adaptive athlete. She's actually the neuro major world champion. Which is through WheelWAD. So she competes in adaptive CrossFit at a very high level. So Anna is an amazing coach, and she's the one that really introduced me into adaptive sports, how it works, because I didn't really know a lot about it. And we've obviously followed her journey. She has a lot of adaptive athletes she works with one-on-one. And luckily our space is very adaptive friendly. So obviously if you're in a wheelchair, like, you know, we have accessible parking, we have accessible bathrooms, you know, the gym is accessible. And so we'd always talked about wanting to do something like to make the adaptive community feel welcome, whether that be like a workout or a competition or something like that. And then she was connected to Angel City Sports through one of her clients. And then they were looking for a space to have an adaptive class. And so things kind of took off from there. And so now they're coming about once a month on Sunday, they come to do a functional fitness class for all adaptive athletes. That's free for anyone who wants to join. And Anna and her wife, Nora, kind of run the class.
It's amazing. I think that definitely parlays into what you were talking about earlier, creating a space that everyone can see that no matter where you're at in your journey or ability, you are welcome in that space. So I think that's great.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. It's very cool.
I want to know your guys' approach to holistic fitness. Is coming to class enough for someone to be fit? What do you suggest to somebody who wants to have a broader approach to health and fitness?
You know, I always tell people, let's assume that someone comes in to one of the classes. It's 60 minutes. It's 1 hour. That's 1 hour out of 24 hours of your day. You know, ideally, if you want to take a holistic approach, you want to look at, you know, the 8 hours, 6 to 10 hours that you're sleeping. How is your rest? How is your recovery? You know, a lot of times athletes come to me and ask me what more could they be doing, but you have to be like, you have to look at it as though what you're doing with your time, but also, are you doing too much? Are you recovering properly for the amount of work that you're doing? And also, are you fueling properly to support the training that you're doing as well? You got to. I always say you got to take a look at the big picture. How much time are you spending on rest and recovery? How you're fueling? You know, a lot of times doing the extra session isn't necessarily going to be helpful, isn't going to move the needle in the direction that you want. Mm. You know, a lot of the athletes that just finished quarterfinals, I told them, I'm like, you need to take a week off.
Oh, yeah.
You need to take time off. Don't touch a barbell.
They want to take a day off.
They want to take one day off. And I'm like, no, you need to go for a walk.
You need to sit
let
down.
Let your hands rest. Yeah. You know, like so many of them actually got sick.
Yeah.
Like right after quarterfinals. Yeah. Just your adrenaline dumping, you know, you're thinking about these workouts, probably dreaming really about high, it, you know, stress level through the roof, you know, and then they get sick and it's like, okay, well, what do you need right now? You absolutely do not need to do another session. Do not need to lift the barbell. Rest and recover.
Yeah, I think what we've noticed too, and this sort of happened kind of accidentally, you know, we have personal clients, we have clients who do like personalized programming and stuff like that. And then one of my clients reached out to ask about nutrition. And I've done nutrition coaching in the past, but sort of, you know, not as like a major part of my business. But for whatever reason, I think working with Charlie, actually, because he has a lot of knowledge in the nutrition field as well, kind of led us really into blossoming a nutrition coaching side of our business that's become a big piece of what we do week by week. And, you know, what I always tell our athletes too is like nutrition is one of the hardest things to do because it's so much sight unseen. Like Charlie said, you come into the gym, you get told what to do for an hour, you do your workout, you go home, but then you're home. And then it's like, what do you eat? You know, like, and how do you eat and who's watching you? And so we have this, you know, this kind of side business, but most of it is accountability because I'm sure if you've been in the space for any time at all, you've probably had somebody do your macros or you've kind of figured out sort of like what you should be eating. But we do these phone check-ins week by week. And it's so interesting to talk to people and the psychology behind eating.
Yeah.
And it's such an emotional component to life. But really, if you want to have the best success in your training, you have to eat to support your training. And it's interesting that there are a lot of people at a very high level who are not able to do that, I think, and have kind of like scraped by doing, you know, the bare minimum. So I do think nutrition is like a huge part of that holistic approach to being an athlete.
That reminds me of like a quote from Dave Ramsey, the money guru that talks about debt and whatnot. And he's like, it's not a math problem. It's a behavior problem. Yes. And like in my opinion, the same could be true of nutrition. Like it's not a knowledge problem. Like most of us know like what we should and shouldn't be eating. It's a behavior problem. It's like somebody's not keeping me accountable to what I'm saying I want to be eating or what I actually am eating. Like if I was being forced to track what I was eating or take pictures, like it would be way different, even if I wasn't even eating anything different.
Yeah.
So I think that you're 100% on the right track right there. It's like a holistic approach is you got to take into account some other things besides that 60 minute class because there's 23 other hours in the day. Yeah.
So you guys did have athletes compete in the CrossFit quarterfinals. So talk about how you were supporting them. And then what's your feeling on the percentage changing from 10% to 25%?
Yeah.
I have two sides to this. I definitely feel like it was a little bit of a cash grab by CrossFit, like to make some money.
Sure. Yes.
However, that being said, when I first saw it, I was like, what? This is crazy. However, I will say that I think it creates an opportunity for us as gyms to, because you know, the open, it's always a big community building time where you have like a Friday Night Lights or maybe some gyms do it on Saturday, but but you do parties and you have food and you have people get their first pull up or their first muscle up and everybody sees it. And it's like this taste of competition, but it's very friendly and it's very supportive. So I do think by expanding quarterfinals and like we had quite a few athletes make it to that next level, you could do something similar. You could kind of keep that community building focus going. I think we were a little unprepared for it. I think maybe next year we'll have like more plans in terms of, because I know even with Jameson, we talked about maybe doing something where the horsepower people could come to Strange, or the Strange people could come to horsepower, and we could kind of do the workouts together. I think we just need to plan it out a little bit more in advance next time.
But if they don't change it. Next year.
Right, but they might change it by next year, but we'll see.
It's going to change.
But it was both nice to have so many people kind of doing the workouts to talk with and commiserate with and strategize with, but it was schedule-wise pretty crazy, you know, because so many of our athletes were competing. Yeah. We were trying to do it, you know, and we want to do well. And then we had, you know, one of my athletes, Jill King, is very high level masters athlete, and she has a shot at going to the games, especially now that they've increased the pool to 40. So we, you know, that we take on all the stress and emotion of our athletes, and then we also have our own stress and emotion. And so I think we're still kind of coming down.
Are we still together?
I don't know. Yeah, we maybe broke up, got back together a few times during quarterfinals this year.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting. I think it has kind of pluses and minuses, but I'm glad it's over because it was pretty stressful.
It's a lot. I do agree with you. I think it created a great opportunity for more people to feel like they were included in something. And it boosts morale, but also the people who maybe just needed that little extra push, like, hey, you know what? I am actually pretty good. It allows them an opportunity to believe in themselves a little bit more, and having everybody in the gym, helping each other out, holding a camera, helping measure, like that kind of collaboration with your community is really what this is all about. And I feel like it enhanced relationships over that short period of time. People who weren't necessarily usually together were coming from their normal class time to maybe the midday open gym just to get these in, meeting more people and creating relationships. And at the end of the day, that's kind of what this is all about, right?
Yeah. And like we were saying earlier, you know, you do have your people who may progress to like semis or even the games, and they're sort of like the role models. But then you have other people who aren't quite at that level, but they get, like you're saying, they get to participate in the same thing, which creates like a, this kind of camaraderie that wasn't there before. And so that was really cool to watch. And I like that.
Yes, I agree.
And I liked the, you know, I think you're spot on, and it's because it's brand new. There was not a lot of organization with like what we could have done with it. And traditionally in the quarterfinals sense with the top 10%, like most of the quarterfinals workouts, only like 3 or 4% of athletes were really competing or doing well in those top, that top 10%. Like a lot of the stuff that they were asking people to do in the quarterfinals, nobody was finishing or doing. Like 275 pound clean and jerks last year, I think probably less than 3% of people were like completing reps at 275, 185 for clean and jerks.
Yeah.
And so when they increased the pool, I think we had a lot of athletes who made it who said, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to do it because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time then they had like mindset wise taken themselves out of wanting to do it, and they saw the workouts and they're like, oh, wow, like I could do that. Like maybe I would want to do that next year. So I hope that they do something similar, don't completely change things up again. Because I think that, just like you said, I think we could have more organization and bring it, have it be a month post, have some collaboration or organization, maybe have, you know, one workout at a couple of the different local gyms in the area and try to have everybody kind of go through in some heats and have some people pushing each other in those top 25%. You know, I think this year was a little bit too difficult to try to organize as a first year for CrossFit.
I will say that, you know, the people who are going to make it to the games are still going to make it to the games.
Yeah.
You know, and so having a 25% cutoff, you know, it, some specialists out there, you know, are probably bummed that they didn't get legless rope climbs and handstand walks and whatnot. But here's the thing. If you're going to make it to semis, you already have those skills. And
they're going
to
see it now. I mean, they'll see it in semis.
Yeah. And at the very base of, you know, CrossFit and functional fitness in general, it is a cardiovascular, like a aerobic sport.
Yep.
You need to have that baseline of capacity before you earn your heavy barbell, before you earn your, you know, high skill gymnastics. And I hope, like you have mentioned, that they continue this trend.
Yeah.
I think it's a good It's great for the community. And, you know, it, like, we've seen people get so excited about it because they finally made it to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They were pumped.
So I think it's a good thing.
Right.
So tell us what kind of collaborations you two have coming up and what is it like working together?
Does that explain it?
You know, I think we're very different in some ways, which is very complementary. You know, like I said, we do the nutrition coaching, accountability coaching, and we kind of switch off. So if I talk to you, JR, 1 week, next week, Charlie will talk to you. I think Charlie comes from much more of like a scientific, maybe a little bit more like clinical perspective because he's done a lot of research and he understands more about like the physiology than I do. And I come from maybe a little bit more of the, like the therapeutic, emotional perspective. And I think that that's kind of true for our coaching as well. You know, like Charlie mentioned with his barbell club, he was a little bit like hesitant to put himself out there. I'm all about putting myself out there. Even before I'm ready to do it, I do it. And he's much more like, do the work, like research at home, make sure like all the boxes are checked, and then still may feel like it's not time. And I'm like, no, it's never fucking right time. Let's go. Yeah.
So I feel like you're describing Colby and I's relationship right here.
who's who?
That yin and yang though. Yeah. Who's who?
I'm JR the one who's just Sam. Like, I'm just going to go. I don't even think about twice.
Yeah.
And I just go and he's like, let's do every single box. And I'm like, oh my God, let's just go.
JR's like, hey, I started 3 new programs. And I'm like, what?
they call it like the door knockers and the window peepers, like people who want to see the path, you know, which way it's headed versus people who are knocking on opportunities, just opening doors and seeing like what's behind the door. So
yeah.
Definitely could be more like Sam. In that regard.
And I could be more
but
like
I think
Charlie.
That there's also value to both of those.
Yeah,
I think that it makes a great pair.
I have some questions from members of your community. So they sent us questions. We'll answer these kind of quickly before we go. Okay.
What?
These are all anonymous, by the way. So I'm not sure who submitted them, but I have quite a few. I'm going to pick like the best ones.
Okay.
So someone wants to know what is Sam's favorite snack food?
Oh, like sour candy, like gummies.
Nice. Okay. Charles, what's yours?
Chips and ice cream. But you already knew that, JR. Come on.
Chips and ice cream?
I'm a chips, like potato chip connoisseur.
Yeah. With ice. Oh, but not together though.
Not together.
Separate. Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking that sounds like you're pregnant. Okay. When you guys were kids, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to go to the Olympics. Maybe for gymnastics or figure skating.
You're too tall.
I know I'm too tall, but that's what I liked.
I mean, if we want to get really dark, no. I wanted to be a doctor, and I think that explains some of the physiology anatomy background that I have because I did study quite a bit of that stuff in college. So
I remember that. I remember when you were studying that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Next question: if you were to go back in time, Sam, and open the gym again from the beginning, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
I know the answer.
I would make it so friendly to everyone and not focus on competitors only. I was very narrow-minded at the time.
Okay, last question. What is the hardest part about balancing coaching and your own training as a competitive athlete and parent?
Can I go?
Yeah.
You know, balancing all that, like honestly, on like a just like a physical level, like sleep, lack of sleep, that is very hard. Having to say like, okay, today I'm just gonna ride the C2 bike instead of try to lift and do this workout. It takes a lot of, I want to say, like maturity. Like I think JR knew me, like we go kind of way back. JR knew me when I was kind of a punk and much younger. And, you know, I was always, you know, pre-workout at 7 p.m., get a workout in no matter what. It's the maturity of knowing when to kind of take the your foot off the pedal, kind of just step back a little bit. This time, this open, this quarterfinal, the focus for me was really showing up for my athletes and for the members at the gym. And I think, you know, I'm very competitive myself, but being there for my athletes and then like having them, like they poke fun at me. They're like, oh, I beat you in this workout. I'm like, as you should, that shows that I'm doing a good job as a coach.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, realizing when it's our time, when it's their time, is really where that delicate balance is.
Cool. Yeah.
Sam?
I do want to say that the first memory I have of Charlie is like when we started coaching together 6 years ago, he had a random text sent to me saying, hey, why don't you meet me at the gym and let's work out? And it was like 7 p.m. on a Saturday. And that's like really the first interaction we had. And it's like, okay. And that's kind of how our friendship began, is that he would just like, because he knew I had nothing else going on a Saturday. So I'd go work out with him.
Yeah. Those were good days.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm an only child. And I realize now that I have babies how selfish my life was, you know, because it could be. I just was focused on what I needed, what I wanted, when I wanted. I think being an athlete is inherently a kind of a selfish pursuit. People have to like take care of you, make sure you have what you need. And switching to, you know, being a parent and then also like more so focusing on coaching than my own athleticism has really been, like Charlie said, it's not so much about me anymore. It's about the babies, number one. It's about our family. And then the people that, you know, we're coaching, it's really about them and kind of putting ourselves maybe more so on the back burner, at least for now. And, you know, being okay with that and also being really excited as the babies kind of grow and develop and watching them. And then also as our athletes grow and develop and kind of surpass us.
Yeah. I want to add to that real quick. Just for me as a coach, I always tell myself, like, I want to be the coach that I never got when I was trying to compete. And so, you know, I had coaches that were more focused on their thing.
Yeah.
And I get it. You're a competitive athlete. Yeah. You're focused on yourself. But, you know, I am lost. I don't know. I didn't know anything and I needed some guidance. And so now it's like, okay, these people are athletes. You know, I would be so proud that they are doing well because they're putting their trust in us, you know? And I think to me, sometimes like even like right now at this point in my coaching career, I think that to me is a bigger win than me going to the next stage or like semis or whatnot.
Yes.
I think helping other people realize their dreams is something that's just like, it feels different. It hits different, you know?
Love it. I appreciate you guys taking some time out. I know it is hard to carve time out and do really anything. So I'm glad that you guys spent the hour with us, filling us a little bit in on who you guys are and what you guys kind of represent as your organizations and businesses. I think you guys are a great example of some people that, hey, it's part of our values. It's part of our what we think is important. And this is what it looks like sometimes.
Yeah.
So this is great perspective for your guys' community and the community at large, you know, the US population that like, hey, it can be done. You can be fit, healthy, approach it from a holistic perspective and be crazy. Like life is wild, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So before we leave, if we can have you tell us how people can find you, maybe your Instagram handle or your website, if people want to contact you.
Yeah, you can find me either on the gym's website, which is www.strangestrength.us, or on Instagram at Strange Strength and Conditioning, or myself. I believe my Instagram is Samantha_Lusk, L-U-S-K, on Instagram. What about you, Charles?
Mine is Charles Chung Fitness, or for Wilder Athletics, it's at Wilder Athletics. So,
great.
We're working on a website. You know, it's not perfect yet. That's why it's not out.
Sam's buying you a domain.
Yeah, I bought the. Yeah, let's make it
happen.
Yeah, 2 hours from now.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye, guys. Here we go.
Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1.
Bye.